Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. For one final time this week, we are live for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to recap what we saw last night in a doubleheader around the association in NBA playoff action. To close out scenarios, to series clinching victories. That we will look back on, set the stage for the next round in the NBA postseason with some more opportunities for closeouts in a doubleheader of Game 6s on this Friday. Stanley Cup postseason. We get you ready for the weekend on the ice and, of course, around Major League Baseball as well. All of that and more, Donnie Wrightside, for the next 3 hours here until 11 a.m. Eastern.
We're ready to go, and I am rested and ready. Why? Because I was able to watch the Bucks-Pacers game and enjoy that, and I was able to watch maybe a half of a quarter of my Philadelphia 76ers last night because they started roughly at midnight tip time in Philadelphia. So that's my sacrifice to the people out there. I'm here, right. I'm ready, I'm energized, even if I don't get to watch my favorite teams play because of the times that they start at on the East Coast. Let's get it, Ben. Let's get it.
If you want Donnie to give you the analysis for all three hours here on TEL, the man needs his beauty rest. So what you saw about 6 minutes in to the opening quarter last night in Philadelphia that hit the hay?
Yeah, it was. And actually, it helped me get to sleep sooner the way the Sixers actually started in that game where the Knicks were blazing the doors off of the building. So I felt like, you know what, let me just get some extra rest here. And I wake up and see the Sixers had this bad boy tied up in the fourth quarter, watched the highlights, and it was so close. Boy, I would have loved to have watched that game. But, hey, people got to wake up and work. What it is.
I mean, DRS, you probably missed the tide of the game because New York was up 33-11, up by 22 points in the opening quarter. You might not have known that Philly had the lead at the break, and the 76ers were up by double digits midway through the third quarter, and
Buddy
then
ball.
A series that has delivered instant classic after instant classic did that last night in game number 6. But the New York Knicks get a series-clinching victory thanks to a big performance down the stretch once again from Jalen Brunson and his Villanova teammate, Josh Hart, and their other Villanova teammate, finally Tay-Tay. Dante DiVincenzo steps up as Josh Hart buries the go-ahead three with under 30 seconds remaining. And from that point on, New York holds on. 118-115. The Knicks win outright as a 3-point road underdog in Philadelphia in game number 6 to win the series over Philly.
Got some great performances all the way through. And yesterday, if somebody would have just let me know that Miles McBride would only play 9 minutes in this game, I would have appreciated that because I knew my guy, Boom Boom Batum, was going to be ready to go on his home court, and he was. But don't take anything away from that starting lineup for the New York Knicks. 19, 14, 41, 16, and 23. That's how you handle your business. And also, we understand that this game was tied up late and the Sixers had a lead, but you want to enforce that you are here to play in this game, and the Knicks did that in the first quarter. And by the way, Jalen Brunson, we told you yesterday on this show, It's automatic that he's shooting 25 plus times in a game. You see his numbers, props, team total, or totals for himself in that lower 30s. Easily blows past that at 41. It's all about usage rate, and Brunson was dominant once again all the way through a couple late triples to buoy the Knicks to roughly a 10-point lead late in that fourth quarter. The Knicks were just a better team. All said and done. That's all it was.
27 field goal attempts for Jalen Brunson. 13 went down. Also 12 of 16 from the charity stripe for 41 points and 12 assists in that basketball game. Josh Hart, again, the clutch three at the end, under 25 ticks remaining. And Dante DiVincenzo finally catches fire from deep. He hits five triples as New York advances to the second round of the NBA postseason for a second consecutive year. We'll recap everything from that game and set the stage what it means for the rest of this playoff run for the Knickerbockers and what the offseason holds for the 76ers. The first game of the doubleheader last night on a Thursday out in Indianapolis, the Pacers only a 6-point favorite pregame. It was the ebbs and flows, the RS, of that line before the game got started because of the reports that Giannis and Dame were going to work out pregame and try to play. Giannis did not. Damian Lillard did. He poured in 28 points, but it did not really matter in the end. Indiana wins at home and clinches a series victory over Milwaukee in six games, 120-98. The Pacers cover as a 6-point home favorite. A total that closed at 217 does go over.
Yeah, get those bench guys to perform. 20 points out of T.J. McConnell, 21 points out of Obi Toppin here, which lets Miles Turner have a night where he basically fouls himself out and only has 5 points. The Pacers were the better team coming into the series with or with it felt like a healthy Giannis and or a healthy Damian Lillard. So even when you saw some of these players coming back for game number six, I almost thought you were getting a discount now on the price because they weren't great with those two players, let alone those two hobbled players possibly coming back. Dame Lillard came back. And look, superstars want to play here. Any NBA player worth their salt, and these guys really want to play. You knew Damian Lillard was itching to get back. You knew Giannis Antetokounmpo was itching to get back. He just couldn't go. 35 minutes, 28 points out of Dame Lillard. That's much better than I thought you would actually get, but it wasn't nearly enough with a 20-plus point blowout here for the Pacers as they move on.
41 combined bench points out of Obi Toppin, who had 21 in the T.J. McConnell game in Indy last night. 20 points, 9 dimes, 4 steals all off the bench for the Pacers. The first series victory for Indiana in a decade since 2015, or 2014, excuse me, rather in the postseason. And we're going to get a Game 7 on the ice in the National Hockey League. Toronto returns home. William Nylander nets both of the goals for the Leafs as Toronto forces a Game 7 against the Boston Bruins. Back in Beantown, the Bees had a 3-1 series lead as they did a season ago, unable to close out as the Maple Leafs win on home ice in Game 6 as a slight underdog 2-1 to force a Game 7.
I believe they were saying before the telecast last night, 6 straight home losses in the playoffs for the Maple Leafs. So that's a good win, 2-1, fresh off another close win that they had in Boston. And also doing this without Austin Matthews, a particular quote-unquote illness that he has. Love it. The only sport in the world that allows you to not tell why a guy's missing games and making things up, it's the NHL. Welcome to the new age.
Boston back at home tomorrow night, nearly $1.50 favorite on that money line. It is Game 7 inside TD Garden. A short Major League Baseball slate yesterday, but still some exciting games. Francisco Lindor delivers for the New York Mets in extra innings against the Chicago Cubs. The Amazons walk it off in 11. Lindor did not start, also battling a bug and under the weather, but a walk-off RBI double, a two-run double in the bottom of the 11th, wins it for the Mets. They split the four-game set against the Cubs with the 7-6 victory.
That's a good win, man. You're down 4-0 at home. Things weren't going your direction. You see Lindor with those two hits finally. Maybe that wakes him up. He lifts his average to a paltry 207. But the Mets now above 500 once again. And by the way, the Cubs coming into that game 19-12. So good win for the Mets.
Yeah, a big win for New York. Baltimore, a big series victory over the New York Yankees in that battle for the top spot in the AL East. The Orioles in the return of Kyle Bradish win 7-2 yesterday as a slight home underdog. Day baseball at Camden. They take 3-4 against the Pinstripes.
Yeah, you losing the long, using the long ball, and also that power stroke for the Baltimore Orioles. Talked about it before the series started. That plus 175 is now in the rearview mirror. That was a great place for the Baltimore Orioles. They improved to 20-11 on the season. No shame in the Yanks step here. Just weren't good enough yesterday. It's a long season, and again, these two teams will battle throughout the summer to see who's going to take down that American League East for me.
Some football news to the college ranks we go. Kirby Smart extended once again at Georgia, a two-year extension that runs his deal through 2033. He will now make nearly $13 million on an annual average basis. And the Chargers, who need wide receiver help, add the veteran DJ Chark to Los Angeles. The rest of this opening half hour is all around the association. NBA playoff reactions up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A series that was a grind in each and every game. A series that was a fight in all six games. A series that was filled with instant classic after instant classic delivers in the final game of the set. Game number six, last night in Philadelphia, between the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Knicks with a 3-2 series lead as a three-point road underdog, hoping to clinch the series in six in Philly. And it was a game that had its runs. It was a game that had its ebbs and flows. The Knicks had a 22-point lead midway through the first quarter. Philly responded with a huge second quarter to take a five-point lead at the break. The Sixers were up by double digits in the third quarter, only to go back and forth as we entered the fourth, tied at 83 all. Multiple ties, multiple lead changes in that fourth and final quarter in a game-winning shot. A buried triple from the top of the key by Josh Hart with under 25 seconds remaining in regulation as the New York Knicks win this series in six games, 118-115. Outright as a three-point road underdog, winning their last two games in Philadelphia as a dog in each.
And I did enjoy the fact that the two superstars really came to play in the biggest moments here. Brunson, 13 of 27 from the floor, 41 points, and also chipped in with 12 assists. Joel Embiid, who was clear. Did you watch the opening tip last night? Because, yeah, at least I was able to do that. He didn't even jump on the opening tip and just basically gave the basketball to the New York Knicks. So I'm like, my goodness, what are we going to get out of Embiid tonight? One of those games where he plays 21 minutes, scores 4 points, and basically fouls himself out. But he got 39 points, 13 rebounds in that basketball game. He was absolutely tremendous, but it still wasn't good enough. And also, secondary options in big moments. Dante DiVincenzo has been absolutely invisible since game number one. Comes right out of the gate, knocks down his first two triples. You knew he was going to be there for the rest of the night. He played all 48 minutes, shooting 5 of 9 from three-point range and chipping in with 23 points. But if you look at the bench, which has really been key for the New York Knicks, Ben, they only got 5 total bench points and still were able to win. Then you take a look conversely at the Philadelphia 76ers off the bench. You know, Batum always thought was going to be in the mix for 4.5 points. He got that right away. 3 of 5 from 3-point range with 16 points. But Buddy Hield hasn't even been playing in this series. Has 21 minutes, goes 6 of 9 from 3-point range for 20 points, and yet the Sixers still lost. Why? Because you look at that starting lineup. Look, Kyle Lowry is a veteran guard. He's not really a scorer. He doesn't score any points. Then you take a look at Tobias Harris, who's a max contract guy, played 29 minutes, shot 2 times, didn't score a single point, and was just doing cardio yesterday when everybody else needed him to step up. That was the difference. So a synopsis of this game and the series, the Knicks were just better than the Philadelphia 76ers.
They were. They were able to grind out victory after victory, even away from Madison Square Garden, winning games 4 and 6 in Philadelphia. So much to react to for the 76ers. But this story really starts and ends with Jalen Brunson. 41 points again last night, 27 field goal attempts. He makes 13 of them, 12 dimes as well. Jalen Brunson in the final 4 games of this series averaged nearly 42 points per game. He took a lot of shots in games 1 and 2. By the way, New York winning both of those inside Madison Square Garden, but was not efficient. And Donnie, I'll never forget your breakdown last week together in person on a Friday. If Jalen Brunson starts to find even a tad more efficiency, he's going to score 35 at bare minimum, and he did. Points prop last night was 33.5, and really it was not high enough. But everybody else on New York also contributing in a big way. All five starters for the Knickerbockers last night, 14 points or more. Dante DiVincenzo finally in the mix. Josh Hart hits three triples, nothing bigger than that one in the final 25 seconds. And the guy we thought who had been a key contributor off the bench, Deuce McBride, did absolutely nothing. 1 of 4, only 9 minutes last night for Deuce McBride. He came in the second quarter, missed back-to-back threes on the same possession. That's when I knew DRS, he wasn't going over 9.5 points last night.
Yeah, it was a tough scene because you're trying to get those value minutes here. We say, okay, he's played well. DiVincenzo hasn't played well. He probably just makes a couple shots here, and he'll be that hot hand off the bench. They didn't need the hot hand off the bench. And it's almost one of those things where, Ben, you have that secondary guy. Like, I always know Batum's going to get it. What's his job? Stand at the three-point line if the ball comes to him. You hope he can shoot at least 3 or 4 3-point shots and knock down half of them because he's going to be wide open. But the minute Dante DiVincenzo knocked down that first 3-point shot, I'm like, oh, boy. Because when DiVincenzo's not going well and fouling out of the game, that's McBride's minutes that he would come into. Now, granted, all throughout the series, McBride had been playing 20-plus minutes, and of course, last night, he doesn't even get 10 minutes in this game. Just a tough scene all the way around. Could have had a good chance there for a parlay. Didn't work out. But again, the New York Knicks were the better team here. Brunson was phenomenal all the way through.
Phenomenal.
You were waiting for that off-game late, like, okay, he's going to shoot one of those 8-for-28 performance games. It never came. You knew exactly where he wanted to shoot from, and still you couldn't stop him here. Bigger guards, 6-7-8 guys like Kelly Oubre, still couldn't contend with them. He was posterizing them from 15 feet away. It was fun to watch. If you're a Knicks backer, they move on. That's what stars do. You're watching a superstar in New York right now, and let's see if he can contend that same way against the Pacers.
The Knicks went outright in both games 4 and 6 as an underdog. And this series was tight start to finish. All six games decided by 11 points or less. 5 of the 6 decided by 7 points or less. The average margin of victory in all six games in this series for that winning team, just 5.5 points per game. It was a battle. It was a great series. It comes to a close in 6 games. And Donnie, despite the coaching change for Philadelphia this offseason, it's a similar narrative in an early summer for the 76ers. They have failed to reach the Eastern Conference Finals since 2001. That's when Allen Iverson was still playing for the 76ers. Joel Embiid gutting through the injury last night actually put together a masterful performance. He scored 39 points. But JoJo has not reached a conference finals. He is the only MVP in NBA history, the only one in NBA history that has failed to reach at least one conference finals. We'll react a little bit more to where this leaves the 76ers and what changes we expect this offseason in Philadelphia on the other side before we change our attention to Indianapolis in the Pacers closing out the Bucks. We do that next. You're on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In every playoff game, in every postseason series, there is the joy of victory in the agony of defeat, where you forecast a team still marching on in the playoffs and look at a season coming to a close for the other side. And often that leads to maybe even more reactions. For Philadelphia, DRS, your 76ers, it's the same story we have seen for the last 2 decades plus in the city of brotherly love, failing to even reach the Eastern Conference Finals. And not that we truly expected them to get to that point this year with the Joel Embiid injury plagued season once again entering the playoffs a little bit banged up with the bum knee. But Philadelphia does not get out of the first round where we thought they drew a favorable matchup against the New York Knicks. We showed the graphic right before the break. Joel Embiid, last year's NBA MVP, the only MVP in NBA history to not reach a conference finals at least once, and he has had two chances since winning that MVP award. So, Donnie, in your fandom, in your sports analysis, what do you want the Sixers to do this offseason? What do you think happens in Philly?
You know, it's kind of funny. Like, before Ben, myself and yourself were doing the early line here, it was myself and Kevin. And all throughout last year, you're watching the Sixers. It just doesn't work out. Doc Rivers is a terrible coach. They move on into the offseason. And I said multiple times, when it started to become a problem where James Harden did not want to come back, I thought this would be a throwaway season for the Philadelphia 76ers. And multiple times on the show, Ben, I would actually say, do you know what? They should actually sit Embiid and only let him play 25 games next year. Who cares what happens? Because why? You were looking forward to the following summer when Tobias Harris comes off of the contract list here, and now you can open it up and get another superstar in place. You just didn't want to burn Joel Embiid out and have him get injured permanently, let's just say, for his NBA career. Now, granted, he hobbled to the stretch, but you still have a couple prime years left with Joel Embiid. Maxey's an emerging superstar. The dead weight of Tobias Harris is going to be gone, and you have a quality coach in Nick Nurse who's much more of an upgrade than Doc Rivers is, even if they did lose that series to the New York Knicks. So for myself, I wasn't upset with the season. You sort of see, like, can we win? Is it possible? Can you catch lightning in a bottle? But I always thought this season was sort of a throwaway. Now, granted, Sixers still made the playoffs and Embiid was there. Should you have beaten the Knicks? Maybe so, maybe not. You get the point here. But next year, we're talking about guys like a Paul George coming to the Philadelphia 76ers, a legit dog that you can add to the lineup as opposed to the dead weight in Tobias Harris. The future for Philadelphia wasn't last year. It's actually right now. What the Sixers do in the offseason, I do believe they should be a top one, two, or three seed next year when you get into the playoffs, granted, as long as they're healthy, with a legitimate chance to win an NBA championship, depending on who they get as that third superstar on the team.
Now, Philadelphia did not have one of the two best prices to win the Eastern Conference before the year got started. They were well behind both Boston and Milwaukee. We'll talk about the Bucks season coming to a close in just a moment. So, Philadelphia can forecast optimistically, perhaps, to next year. Again, Joel Embiid gutting through the injury, 39 points last night after the Tyrese Maxey game inside Madison Square Garden in game number 5, 46 points. Only 17. Tobias Harris, the only player that makes more, and this stat courtesy of our very own Kevin Walsh, the only player in the Knicks-Sixers series that makes more money than Tobias Harris is Joel Embiid. And Tobias Harris, in a elimination game, number 6 last night, shot the ball twice, played 29 minutes, and scored 0 points. I saw a clip of Tobias Harris last night talking about, over the summer, trade speculation surrounding his name. And the quote was, casual Sixers fan would trade me for a crumble cookie. Well, a crumble cookie scored 0 points last night. So did Tobias Harris in game number 6 in Philadelphia. That's probably the start of what the 76ers do this offseason. Do you believe, DRS, they are one piece away, like a Paul George, like another big name, from truly being not just an Eastern Conference, but NBA championship contender?
It depends on who the bench is going to be, but you're always looking to improve your team. The Celtics are very good. We know this. There's a lot of really good teams in the NBA. But this year coming in, you expected James Harden to be there, and maybe he could be an all-star point guard. He never wanted to be in Philadelphia. You made a trade here. You didn't replace him with anything or get anything back. That was always the move for the next offseason, because for years in Philadelphia, we could not wait to get rid of Tobias Harris. So even though yesterday, as the clock struck zero in the Sixers season, celebrations and champagne bottles across the Delaware Valley were popping, because we never have to watch Tobias Harris again. And also, I say this, if Tobias Harris made $5 million, we wouldn't care. But when you're a max player and you're a bum, we care.
For sure. You need the return on investment. To Indy we go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game 6 last night as well in Indianapolis. It was the opening game of the night, so Donnie Wrightside was up for it all. The Pacers with a close-out opportunity against the Milwaukee Bucks. But Donnie, the story before the game was the potential of the return of both Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard. And we saw that reflected in the spread. When we were breaking down the game, and for most of Thursday afternoon, Indiana was an 8.5-point favorite. But then, as we got closer and closer to game time, as Giannis and Dame had not been ruled out, and then Doc Rivers told reporters around shoot-around that both would go through pregame workouts to see if they could play, line came all the way down to only 5 in favor of the Pacers. Total was up from 214 to 217 and a hook. After Giannis was ruled out, but Damian Lillard played in the game, line closed at 6 in favor of the Pacers. The over-under closed at 217. And despite 28 points from Dame, the time was all for Indiana, who closes this series out in 6 games back at home in Indianapolis, 120-98. The pace up once again. All 4 victories for Indiana in this series. The total goes over. And the Pacers scored 120 in all 4 wins. 120-98. The Pacers cover as a 6-point home favorite behind a huge outing from the bench. Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell combined for 41 points. Indiana wins the series over Milwaukee in 6 games.
Yeah, and that was expected here once you saw the damage in the starting lineup here for the Milwaukee Bucks. But also shout out to the NBA again, or should I just say the Milwaukee Bucks, for the misinformation that they were spreading. Hey, by the way, man, Giannis way closer to coming back in this series than Dame Lillard is now. Dame Lillard ends up playing 35 minutes and Giannis doesn't even appear. And also when he got injured, yeah, he's going to be back early in that Pacers series. Early meant 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Nope, none of those games. And quite frankly, he probably wasn't even playing in a game 7 if he came to be. But having said that, whether or not you had Dame and or Giannis in that lineup, Ben, it was clear. Once you got around the All-Star break, they just weren't the same team that they were at the start of the season. The only thing that really changed outside of the injuries at the end of the season was Doc Rivers became their head coach and they became terrible in game time situations, which we watched in Philadelphia and Los Angeles. And outside of having one of the best big threes in basketball history in Boston, where he's able to win a championship here, it certainly hasn't proven that Doc is going to outcoach the other guy on the opposite side of the court. Now, getting back to this game, it was an easy win for the Pacers. And I thought, obviously, if you were looking at the side of this, when it was dropping from the 8.5 to the 7 to the 6.5 and all that range, I thought you were still getting an active discount on the Pacers. Just going back to, what are we getting at a little? By the way, 35 minutes here, 10 of 10 from the free throw line in 28 minutes. Dame was game for that, no doubt about it. But we just knew the Bucks weren't as good a team as the Indiana Pacers, particularly on their home court. It didn't surprise me at all that this game was a 20-point blowout, because we got the looks coming in. Game 5, almost like the Pacers were like, look, let's not get injured here. Let's see what happens, but it's no big deal. We'll get them in our own building and we'll handle our business. And it played out exactly that way. The Pacers were a better team than the Bucks, not only because of injury, but also because of coaching and maybe just a better overall team here. And we'll see what happens in the Bucks' future, but it wasn't good enough for the series. Good job by the Pacers. First time in a long time they get to the second round.
First time in a very long time. First playoff series victory for Indiana as an organization in a decade since 2014. No starter last night for the Pacers. Scored into the 20s. It was off the bench. Obi Toppin again, 21 points. And really, TJ McConnell, a playoff career best, 20 points. Also 9 assists and 4 steals. The TJ McConnell game in Indianapolis to lead the Pacers to a 120-98 win. Dame did have a points prop of 25.5 on the other side. He goes over with 28, but not enough. So Indiana on to the second round. We'll look at the series matchup between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers in just a moment, but some further fallout for Milwaukee. Doc Rivers becomes the head coach after Adrian Griffin, in his first year as the head man, is ousted after 43 games in a 30-13 record. Under Doc, Milwaukee had a losing record, 19-23 overall, 2 games below 500 in the regular season, and of course ousted in 6 games here in the opening round of the playoffs. Since Doc has left Boston, his teams have never gone to a conference finals. Does he get a pass, DRS, because of the injuries to Giannis and Dame here in the playoffs, or will he not return next season at the helm of this Bucks organization?
Here's the big issue with Doc Rivers. And if you found, and sometimes I don't fault the organizations because I like proactive organizations. And if you really feel to yourself, I don't care what this record is, Ben, when we get the time where we really need to win in the playoffs, I don't think we have the head coach for this because we're gunning for a championship here. They get rid of Adrian Griffin. I actually had no issue with that overall. But the fact that he went to Doc Rivers, and technically, I wasn't even at issue with that. I said, okay, maybe you need a softer approach or a guy that's been there, done that, just to be a friend to the starting five and a guy you can ask questions who's been there, done that in big moments throughout his NBA career, right? And I said, okay, that could work out. But you saw what the Bucks did. It was, let's get rid of Adrian Griffin and let's sign this guy to a five-year, I think he got like a five-year deal at massive money to be the head coach. It wasn't even like, hey, yeah. Doc, you can always go back to the booth and coach. What do you say? Right now, we can't get our future head coach. Come in and coach this team. If it works out well by the end of the year and we make a deep run to the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, we'll give you a long-term contract because we've shown that it's worked out. Like before he even stepped into the building here, he was like, okay, we found our guy. We don't need to interview anybody. Let's give Doc a long-term contract for big money, and away we go. And it's been a disaster. And I understand. Owners are absolutely rich, but also they're about the bottom line as well. You're telling me I'm just going to let this guy go for like $25 or $30 million check and then sign another coach who's going to have to be a big name, and I got to write him a check for a similar amount just to coach here at this time? I don't think Doc's going anywhere. I just don't like the execution. If you went to Doc and it didn't work out and it was just a, hey, interim head coaching tag, so be it. And Doc's not going to get mad at that. Doc would leave the booth, coach, it didn't work out, he'd go right back to ESPN, ABC, NBC, and be right on the sideline again doing what he did here. I just don't like the execution overall. Doc was terrible down the stretch. He is a little bit of a scapegoat right now, has that excuse of, what did you want me to do in round number one? I would have loved it if both Giannis and Dame were healthy and they got bounced by the Pacers, which quite frankly, they probably were going to do anyway. But he's going to be back next year because of that contract.
But listen, Adrian Griffin, again, was not the head coach when Milwaukee got ousted last year in the opening round by Miami. That was Mike Budenholzer, who led the Bucks to a championship 2 years prior. Are you really going to have four head coaches in Milwaukee in the span of a calendar year? That would be a ton of chaos and a ton of turnover. I also wonder what happens with Dame. I expect Damian Lillard to be back in Milwaukee next year. But since Dame's fourth year in the NBA, he has now played 12 over the span of the last 8 seasons. He has played 55 or more games in 7 of those 8 years. This year in Milwaukee, only 24 points per game. That was the worst over this 8-year span. Shot the worst from three as well this season for the Bucks. He wasn't quite the Dame time we had come to know over the past decade in Portland this year inside the Pfizer Forum. Now we forecast what is up next. The first playoff series that we know in the Eastern Conference in the second round, Indiana versus New York. And the Knicks are a really hefty favorite to win this series outright at minus 300. The Knicks should be the favorite. They have home floor advantage inside Madison Square Garden. Should the series number be this strong?
I don't think it should be that strong because I do like the Pacers team. Now, having said that, again, I do agree that the Knicks should be the favorite and should win this series and line up against the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they'll be great for television, great energy in the Garden, great energy in the other Garden up in Boston. But for my money here, I don't know if I would take a shot with the underdog Pacers, but I do agree that is a lofty price, and I'm not interested in taking the Knicks at that price point. I would be leaning towards the Pacers, even though, again, I still think the Knicks win. It's just not a price point either side, technically, I want to pay for at this point, Ben.
The last time the New York Knicks reached the Eastern Conference Finals, the year was 2000. That is what the Knickerbockers are trying to accomplish, advancing to the second round for a second consecutive NBA postseason. To Major League Baseball, we go next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A short 6-game slate around Major League Baseball yesterday. 5 of those games coming during daytime hours. Only 1 game in primetime. But still some exciting results to bring you here on this Friday morning. Huge series in the American League East. A 4-game set in Baltimore this week between the Orioles and the Yankees. Yes, you can still call it huge even if it's the opening few days of May. Because as Donnie points out, these wins matter just the same as those wins late into July and into September for divisional races in postseason positioning. And the Orioles take a huge series victory this week over the Yanks. Yesterday in the series finale, the O's win 7-2. Baltimore wins this series, taking 3 of 4 against the Pinstripes, making a statement in the division.
Yes, and certainly the statement was made yesterday for sure and over the past couple games that the Baltimore Orioles last year was not a fluke. We're a good baseball team and actually improved ourselves over the winter here. Now, granted, you can look on the mound yesterday and say what went wrong, and maybe Carlos Rodon can finally say, hey, man, didn't last week Major League Baseball tell us that these bunk jerseys are going to be gone? Because yesterday it was over 80 degrees and looked like he was holding all the sweat in the ballpark in his jersey alone for how many fans were in the stands. And he got hammered. 4 innings pitched, 8 hits, 6 earned runs, along with 6 strikeouts yesterday. The clutchness at the plate for the Orioles wasn't really like, hey, let me step up in a big moment. It was the long ball. They hit 3 of them yesterday, and that's always going to power you. But as I take a look at the Yankees, there's no panic here. They'll get some of their frontline starting pitching back, right. And hopefully, though, the middle of that lineup, Aaron Judge, the former MVP, is currently hitting 197. Now, as anybody knows watching Major League Baseball, as a player and also for your statistics, you need to get off to that hot start. Most players that have a good season get off to that, hey, I'm hitting 350 by the end of the first month. We know that's going to last, and even if you don't hit that well throughout the rest of the summer, you wind up around 280, which is still a decent batting average. It's very rare for guys to get off to a 197 start, Ben, and end up at 280 at the end of the season. So are we looking at a season for Judge around 235, 240, maybe limited power options? That's just a tough scene. And yes, they're still way above 500 here in contention.
Yep.
But that's the guy that you wanted to get off to a hot start at this point. And if he's not playing well, what do you hold it to? And when does he bounce back here? Just a bad start for him at the plate, but also 2011 Baltimore Orioles. We sort of expected this, Ben, didn't we?
Yeah, Baltimore last year, more than 100 wins, best record in the American League, the number one seed in the AL playoffs. Of course, it was a young core that was bounced by the Texas Rangers. The Rangers went on to win a World Series, but can they take that playoff experience from a year ago? And if they get back to that stage, as we all expect, move even further along. Now, to Donnie's point, there is no panic, though, because it is just the first few days of May for the Yankees losing a 4-game set on the road in Baltimore. 3 teams in the American League have 20 wins. The O's, the Guardians, and still the Yankees. Baltimore just has 2 less losses as they played 2 fewer games than that of the Yanks. 20-11 for Baltimore, 20-13 for New York. The Pinstripes still remain the favorites in minus money to win the American League East at minus 125. And the Yanks still remain the favorites to win the AL pennant at plus 320. Baltimore has that second best number. It was 5-1 earlier this week, now plus 550. Not because of anything, of course, that happened in this series, but because the Astros are playing a little bit better baseball. They've won 4 of their last 5 as well. So both teams, Donnie, Baltimore and New York, we expect to be there at the very end, not only in contention for this divisional title, but of course in the race for the pennant as we get closer to October.
Yeah, and let's see also what happens at the deadline. And I know it's a little bit early to talk about that, but that's when teams ramp up and say, okay, now we're putting this in for that final month stretch here in August and through September in the playoffs. But also keep in mind, the Yankees just might have the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, but he's not even pitching yet. Here's the issue. Gerrit Cole, as we saw before the season started, spring training, never a good sign. Let's see what we get. Hopefully it's not going to be a Tommy John surgery. Here's the problem. Yes, it's not a Tommy John surgery, which is good news here, but the Yankees are telling us, Ben, we don't even have a timeline yet on Gerrit Cole. What you wanted to hope for, okay, let's sit him down for a month, month and a half, let's start throwing again. Gerrit Cole isn't even throwing again. So if you can tell me by, let's just say, it's May right now, July 1st, we're getting Cy Young Cole back in our lineup, or caliber Cole, I should say, back in our lineup, that's going to be a massive boost here to the Yankees. But if we get some of that news where things aren't working out well, shut him down, and maybe he doesn't pitch again this season, you better look at that plus 175, plus 170 or less price here on the Baltimore Orioles moving through. Because, yes, the Yankees are going to make a move, but you're not going to make a move and get a guy like Gerrit Cole into your lineup. That guy seems like if he can come back by July, or let's just say both of these teams are within 3 games either of each other, that could be the difference in his 10 to 15 starts down the stretch to win that division here. If Gerrit Cole isn't 100% healthy here, I don't know if you can take the Yankees at this point, to be honest.
And you saw the Yankees price even move back by a buck in the World Series odds. Why? Because the Houston Astros are playing better baseball. And when you're a favorite before the year gets started and you're starting to look a little bit better as May approaches, it's going to move the market ever so slightly. We're talking a couple of cents and a dollar here. And the Astros did win a series against the Guardians this week. They swept the Rockies in Mexico City over the weekend. Make that 4-5 for Houston. Yesterday, 8-2, the Astros win the series finale over Cleveland as a slight home favorite, minus 136 on that money line. The Astros were actually down entering the sixth inning. They score 7 runs, 2 in the sixth, 5 in the seventh to pull away for the 8-2 win.
Yeah, good job by them on their bullpen to hold it down after the third inning. As you said, down 2 runs here. They get one back in the bottom of the third inning, but they use that big surge late in the game in the seventh inning to pop through. And they got a couple young players in there, like Diaz in that lineup, has 2 RBIs. They signed up that clutch bases loaded single to left field that really blew that game open. Jose Altuve, 3 more hits from yesterday, 352 on the season. The Astros ain't done yet here for 2024.
Not exactly a youngin', John Singleton, who is 32 years old, but 3 ribbies yesterday to really lead that offense for Houston, including the go-ahead 2-run shot in the bottom of the sixth. We'll show you more around Major League Baseball in the short slate that was yesterday. The Marlins stacking up multiple wins in a row in a good 4-game set up in Queens between the Mets and the Cubbies comes to a close. All of that and more on the other side of the break as we go around MLB here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sound the alarm. Boom, boom, boom. New programming alert here on Sports Grid that starts this weekend, including this Friday, today, noon Eastern time. Relive the excitement in Singapore. Tune in to the Live post-round show for highlights and insights today at noon Eastern and this weekend, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, here on Sports Grid. Live, love, laugh. It's golf season, baby, here on Sports Grid. Now, to Major League Baseball we go. A battle of the bottom this week in South Florida between the Rockies and the Marlins, the two worst records in the National League. But you know how bad Colorado is that Miami just pulled off the sweep yesterday in extras, winning the regular or this series finale 5-4 in 10 innings. Not only just pulling off the sweep, but the Fish were booked as a minus 166 money line favorite pregame. Total goes over 7.5. Jesus Sanchez hits the game-winning RBI single. Luis Arias scores in the bottom of the 10th. The first time this year, DRS, of course, the Marlins have pulled off a sweep. The first time this year, Miami has won multiple games in a row. They win 3 straight over Colorado.
I got to tell you, like the Miami Marlins, we've always expected just to be a bad baseball organization in a town that doesn't really care about them because they don't win nor they try to win at that point. If you remember when they were building their new stadium, I love their old ownership group, which loading up on some talent. They were sold out the first couple games. Everything was great. And then he realized he pulled the wool over everybody's eyes and sold by like the deadline and got rid of everybody. And Miami's not going to come back for that because they know better than to come back to the ballpark. But what's the question for the Colorado Rockies here? They have a great ballpark in a good atmosphere. They get a lot of fans in their building. And you can say to yourself, okay, they probably have a lot of superstars. If you look at that 1-9 lineup, which again would include their starting pitcher yesterday, you barely even heard any of these names ever on your radar even one time here. So when you look at them, look, I know Luis Arias and De La Cruz and Jazz Chisholm and Bell from his Pittsburgh days. But you look at that lineup for the Colorado Rockies, and outside of like I know J.K. because he used to be a Philadelphia Philly bench warmer here, that whole lineup stinks out loud, and it shouldn't be the case. Like they're 7-24. My goodness here. How did this happen in Colorado? Forget about Miami. How did this happen in Colorado where they don't have one recognizable player and the one that they do have is injured in Bellinger and he basically said, yeah, I signed because there's a lot of money and like day number one, I was hoping to get out of here. It's crazy.
You mean Chris Bryant, right? In Colorado, not Cody Bellinger?
Oh, yeah, correct.
Yeah,
yes.
We're, and so, but when you look at these two, I mean, that's, but Donnie's right. It's kind of an afterthought with the Colorado Rockies at this moment. Miami is now 9-24. The Rocks are 7-24. They have lost five straight games. When we're looking at who is going to be the worst team in Major League Baseball this season, at least neither of these two have the shortest number to have the worst regular season record. That's still the Chicago White Sox, who are 6-24. But those three teams, DRS, the White Sox, the Rockies, and the Marlins, the three teams around MLB that have failed to reach at least double-digit wins so far this season.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere soon here. And also, if you take a moment to take a look at the Colorado Rockies here, by the way, this has always been an issue. And we're going way back. Like, when the Mets had Mike Hampton as a pitcher, right, he goes over to Colorado for the most money he can get. But then again, he gets shelled and his career ends up. Like, honestly, if you are a top-flight pitcher, why would you ever go there? Because you want to make a lot of money. I get it. But it's all about pride when you hang up your cleats at the end of your career and you say, well, I had a 5 ERA, but I pitched in Colorado and I was pretty good. That doesn't hold up here. It's an interesting thing to have, because if you're a hitter, you also can put up big numbers. But what does everybody say at the end of your career? Now, you probably stunk unless you played in Colorado at this point. And it's right here, because your numbers are inflated at home and bad on the road, and everybody thinks you're just not that great of a player because you play in Colorado. It's a double-edged sword. It hasn't worked out for them, and I don't know how it gets any better, to be honest.
The Oakland Athletics listed on that graphic, but Oakland is far from one of the worst teams in MLB this year. Just two games below 500, 15-17. The A's have the second longest active win streak around the bigs, four straight winners for the A's. The New York Mets split a four-game set against Chicago up in Queens this week as the Mets walk it off yesterday in the bottom of the 11th, 7-6. Frankie Francisco Lindor, a two-run RBI double. Off in that 11th inning for the walk-off. Our technical director, Matt Mullalem, was there to take in the excitement, Donnie.
Yeah, and by the way, good win for them, because also that's one of those against a good team in the Cubs that you were down four runs by the time you started your rally. You got to start somewhere for the Mets.
Yeah.
16-50 now, above 500. Let's see where they go.
That is a big, big point for the Amazons. Yeah. We'll set the weekend stage in the association. Round number two, when hour two starts in just over 2 minutes.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.